Word and turn to Genesis chapter 13. And as we're turning to Genesis chapter 13, I simply want to say thank you so much for making the choice to be here this evening. We understand that there are a lot of things that are pulling us, a lot of responsibilities that we have. And for those who are able to make it this evening, thank you so much for purposing to be here. And for those who have had a rough day, thank you for purposing to be here as well. We believe the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we look here in Genesis chapter 13, we are going to deal with the topic of spiritual choices this evening. Yesterday evening, we talked about slippery places, and it was a challenge for us to understand that we could be in a position where our feet are about to slip. And to refrain from that would to understand the repercussions of a choice in that direction. Before we read the verses, let me ask you a question. Have you ever lived off of the overflow of the blessings of God in someone else's life? Meaning they made good choices and now others are reaping the benefits of those choices. And as we look in Genesis 13, we see that there is a man and a bunch of people that are reaping the blessing and benefits of living underneath Abram. I want you to begin with me following along in verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with them into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. In verse 5, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And we pause right here and reminisce about this story as we begin. These people are greatly blessed by God. But in all of the blessing and in all of the prosperity, there is a situation that has come up that leads them to make some choices. Studies have revealed that we as adults can make around 35,000 choices a day. Children can make around 3,000 choices a day. So it's only to be understood that the older we become, the more choices we are going to have to make in this life. And of course, the biggest choice that we believe that one could ever make in this life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, you can know Him this evening. Your soul can be at eternal peace because you've met the One who has forgiven you of all of your sins. But I want you to consider a statement, and that is, every choice you make has an end result. When it comes down to salvation, if you choose to deny Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are condemned already. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And a choice to reject the message of Jesus, it has an end result, and it is not a good result. This evening, we're dealing with choices on either good or bad. You know, in this life, there are so many choices we make every single day. And sometimes we think of choices as simple as, well, is it going to be M&M's or is it going to be Skittles? And we could look at that and say, well, I would choose this and somebody else would choose that. But we recognize that there are some choices in this life that we can make that could lead us down a slippery path, or there are some choices that we can make that lead us toward the glory of God, living for the Lord. The first thing I want you to know is choices can be difficult. Now, I don't want you to live in anxiety or worry, but just from the scriptures, I show you what I mean. In verse 6, the land was not able to bear them, Abram and Lot, and their cattle, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Choices needed to be made. Choices can be difficult sometimes. This is a choice in a family that a family needed to make for the betterment of their situation. And these were hard choices. Their hard choices were due to their prosperity. Their hard choices were because of workers. Notice what it says in verse 7. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And in these particular verses, in this particular time in history, the need was not to stay together. The need was to separate. This choice was a very difficult choice that they had to make as a family, and it was because of the strife that was raising in the situations of their herdsmen. Choices can sometimes be difficult. The second thing I'd like to bring up is that choices come suddenly. Notice what it says in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Choices can come suddenly. And Abram, we understand, has had these emotions building up. And Lot has had these emotions building up. And they have gone into their herdsmen's camps, and they have broken up these fights. And now all of a sudden, Abram steps onto the scene and speaks with Lot. And a choice is given to Lot suddenly. Are you going to go this way, or are you going to go that way? Choices can be difficult. Choices can come suddenly. Big choices don't always care about perfect timing. I wasn't expecting this to happen today. To be left at a question like this right now? God, don't you know that this is bad timing? But here's the choice. It has come suddenly. It is a difficult choice. And as we begin to study a little bit more about this choice that came suddenly, at the time, there was no right direction, but there was simply a choice. You go one way, and I'll go the other. The smallest of choices, though, can reveal huge outcomes. I want you to notice a third thing in verse 10, and that is choices reveal desire. In verse 10 it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. You see, Lot's choice began with a look. And this choice was based on the beauty and the plenty of what he saw. Sometimes choices like this are heavily influenced by the words of others or even just the thoughts of others. My herdsmen, well, they will applaud me if I pick in this direction. Because look at the grass, look at the water, look at the garden. That's a good direction to go. And as the one in charge of them, they're going to be well pleased with my decision. This choice would reveal the desire of the abundance, the desire of the plenty, the direction that Lot chose to go in his life. I read a quote recently, but I don't quite remember the author of the quote. When it comes to leadership, if you want to make everybody happy, stop leading and go sell ice cream. Good leaders don't make decisions based upon what makes people happy, but on what makes people, but what is right. Good leaders don't make choices based on what makes people happy, but on what is right. And when we find ourselves in positions of making choices, leading families, leading churches, leading our life for the glory of God, we want to make choices not on that happiness, but on that which glorifies God and that which is right, which reveals something else about Lot's choice. Choices lead to destinations. Think about it on a simple level with me for just a second. At some point in my life, I met Rachel. And that is a big story for its own at another time. My life changed in many ways. But when I made the choice to marry Rachel, it led to many destinations, one of them being a destination on this earth that I never thought that I would ever find myself. I used to watch those National Geographic videos and watch those frontiersmen and learn about them and watch them raft down the Yukon River and think, man, northern Canada and Alaska is a very beautiful place. I'd sure love to go there sometime. And now I get to go there quite a bit, sometimes three or four times a year, getting our fill of Alaska, summertime, wintertime, destination. We get to serve God in a beautiful place like Alaska. So many beautiful places all over based upon choices we have made to serve the Lord. But those choices have led to a destination. And in Lot's situation, he makes a choice. And ultimately, this choice that he made, Abram saying, you choose the right, I'll choose the left. Or if you choose the left, I'll choose the right. But as Lot chose the direction in these plains, it ultimately led to a destination that would change his life. The choice led to destination separation. We can't say that Abraham was wrong in encouraging the separation. We should assume it was out of wisdom to lighten the results of strife that would otherwise be present. Sometimes separation is necessary for the work to go on, but what you do after that separation is still important, i.e., Paul and Barnabas in the New Testament. They split ways, but they stayed faithful to God. That's not the case in Lot's situation. As Lot made a choice going in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it would start with the choice of those plains, and then it would lead to him setting up his tent, looking in the direction of Sodom, and next time we know it, he is in the gates of the city and can't even win some of his family to the decision that God has made about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he leaves some of them behind and escapes with others as God's judgment would fall upon that particular city. The choice led to him considering the situation of his life before God. We look at what it says in verse 11. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan and journeyed east. They separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so we see that it's launching into the testimony of who Lot would become based upon a simple choice in that direction. And I give you a fifth thought about choices. Choices have after effects. Choices have consequences. And guys, this is why your pastor would say, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He's saying there's a choice you can make in that direction, and that should be to stay away from it. If you want to be wise, you're going to say no. If you want to be mocked by it, you'll say yes to it. The Proverbs speaks volumes about such things and other principles that would say the choice in this is either foolishness, or the choice in this is either the way of prudence or wisdom. That's why we've got to get into those Proverbs. That's why we've got to let the Bible saturate our souls, because we can either make choices for God or we will make choices against God. Choices have after effects. Choices reveal consequences, not just in time, but also in scope. There are bad choices, there are good choices. In this particular chapter, we see a choice leads Lot to an interesting time of his life. A time that Abraham is mourning over. A time that Abraham is praying for. And maybe there's been some choices in somebody's life that you know. And it's brought you as a mom or a dad. It's brought you as a pastor and pastor's wife. It's brought you to the point of praying for them and agonizing over their situation and asking God for His mercy to be revealed unto them and show forth a little bit of grace in their particular situation. Our choices, well, they don't just affect ourselves. Our choices can, in fact, affect other people as well. The choices a mom makes, the choices a dad makes, the choices a child makes, maybe like a prodigal from the book of Luke who runs away from home with the father's inheritance. And the father, based upon the choices of his son, has given to his son. But now that father has an emptiness in his heart. There is the understanding in the father and the older brother that our youngest has taken everything and wasted it. And this grief leaves the heart of the father in the passage. Choices affect the individual. Choices affect others around us. Spiritual choices are important. I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation for me. This message has a beginning in Genesis and an ending in Revelation. I'd like you to look at Revelation chapter 1, and as you're turning to Revelation chapter 1, we are talking about the importance of spiritual choices. When I was 17 years old, at this point in time in my life, I had gone to a college days at a college to check it out. My grandma said, "Justin, I know you don't want to know what you want to do with your life, but I recommend maybe you'd look into nursing. They always need male nurses, and I've always appreciated a good male nurse, so maybe you could go be a nurse." I found out later it would have taken a lot more brain cells and brain power for me to pass all those classes. But I love the thought of serving other people, and that's why Grandma maybe saw something in me. And then there I was at Dairy Queen. And if you would look at me now and compare me to when I was 16, 17, and 18 years old, you would say, "What happened to Justin?" I'm one of those stories as a preacher where I am more on the introverted side naturally. I am totally okay being over here while everybody else goes about their business. I'm okay without contact with people except for what I now know I need spiritually in fellowship. But this is me. I don't like to talk. When I start working at Dairy Queen, I chose the kitchen work, flipping the burgers, making them in the back, working with the fryers, because I didn't want to talk to anybody out front. And the sweet older lady that I would work with at the Dairy Queen, she would say, "Justin, speak up. I can't hear you. Justin, speak clearly. You're mumbling." I was 16 years old. I was a little backward, a little bit introverted. And I have no idea how I ended up at drive-thru. But eventually, I ended up at drive-thru. And one day at drive-thru, somebody pulls around to the window. I mean, I got so bold at drive-thru, I'd say things like, "Thank you, sir, please pull around. Thank you, ma'am, please pull around." It really wasn't taught to speak sir, ma'am language in my family, but somewhere I picked it up, until that one day where I said, "Thank you, sir, please pull around to the window," and it was not a sir. The same exact day, it happened in the opposite direction. "Thank you, ma'am. Please pull around." And it wasn't a ma'am. So I began to learn their voices, and I still utilize that. And then there was that one day where I said, "Thank you, sir. Please pull around to the window." And he pulls around, and he sticks his finger through the window, and he says, "You would be a good Marine." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes. Would you like to meet and talk about it?" You know, he's a recruiter. He's doing his job. I'm like, "Absolutely. I love my country, the thought of serving it. I appreciate our military. I'll meet with you." So I go and I meet with this Marine after I got off the job, and we get into his Dodge Intrepid. Intrepid, fiery is what it means. And so we get into his Dodge Intrepid. He says, "Justin, you like my car?" I said, "Yeah, it's great." I had a Chevy S10 that was two-toned because the top of it was primer because the paint had fallen off. I mean, rusting at the bottom of it. "This Intrepid looks really good to me." "Looks great." He said, "Justin, here's a brochure about the Marines. The Marines go all over the world. Justin, do you like traveling?" He's a good salesman. "Oh, I've always loved traveling. I would love that," I'm thinking. He's just doing his job as a recruiter. And I love the military. And I start working towards that. I start training towards that. I'm going to be a Marine. And then there was that night where my parents at the time were leading the Sunday school class for the teenagers because there was no one else. They did a good job, I thought. They took us over to a church across the river from us. And they had something called a youth congress, which I didn't know where that came from or what that was all about. But I went to it with the church. We had about 13 teenagers with us. And we all sat in the back row of that auditorium that night. We had preaching, then we had pizza. That was wonderful as well. And then we had games, and then we had preaching again. And I remember when the preacher started preaching that message, he preached from Proverbs. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And he was preaching toward the topic of young people committing themselves to full-time Christian service. And he was saying, "Guys, I want you to pray about, I want you to consider being a teacher at a Christian school somewhere. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary, maybe a pastor, maybe an evangelist. Maybe God is working at a camp, something for you, or even running the camp." And he started talking about committing to full-time ministry. It was very specific in that message. And the conviction was all over my life. I told you last night that I was in a very slippery place as I looked out my bedroom window one night looking up into heaven, wondering if there was mercy for me for the choices that I was making. It was that sermon that evening where as the invitation was given, that all of those things that I was guilty of in my life were brought to a crossroads, an intersection where I had a very pivotal choice to make before God. And looking back on it, I say, aside from a choice to believe on Jesus, this is one of the bigger decisions of my life. A moment that God brought me to through His Word, by way of a preacher, the Holy Spirit of God was showing me and reminding me of how I was living, guilty before Him, in rebellion, not living as Christ would want me to live. And He was also leading me to that moment of saying yes to full-time ministry. I had heard enough preaching to understand what God was going to speak to me about. At the time of invitation, the thought that came across my mind was literally this: Justin, either you serve me with your life or dot, dot, dot. That's what I needed at that moment. In the way of challenging me in the direction of His will, I also needed the quick rebuke and reproof. I needed God to bring me to the edge of my seat in understanding how imperative this choice was. And I really look back on that moment as a pivotal moment of, if I would have gone against what God was leading me, if I would have chose a path away from Him, would I have continued in that sin? Would it have grown and snowballed? I don't know. But God's grace and mercy ministered unto me that evening, and I said yes to what God was wanting me to do. At that very moment, as I was sitting there in my seat, my elbows were on my knees as well, and I looked down towards the other teenagers in my church. They really didn't care what was going on. They had their hands on their head like this. It didn't matter to them what was being preached, but to me it mattered at that moment. I made a choice as they were calling us forward. I got up with about 22 others, committing myself to full-time Christian service. I did not know that God would give me Rachel to serve by my side. I did not know that God would bless 5 years of traveling ministry. I did not know that I would have the blessing of ministering at the church that I grew up in and seeing a wonderful blessing upon that local assembly. I never would have imagined that God would have us traveling again, and yet here we are. I never would have imagined answers to prayer like God giving us our first vehicle in full, or God providing for our second vehicle, the money in full. Stories to tell you at a different time. I never would have been able to tell you about the souls that have been saved, and the places God has allowed us to go, and the revival moments that we have been able to see, if we would not have said yes to that moment. Amen. When God was working on my heart. One choice that led to some specific destinations in my life. Well, I want you to see here in Revelation chapter 1 something that happens by way of a spiritual choice. It says this in verse number 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, which is, or from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the King of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Not only do we see the reminder of Christ coming, and the reminder of who we are because of Him, but Jesus says in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I ask you a question. I wonder if your choices, I'm not talking about M&Ms and Skittles now. I'm talking about those big deal choices in your life. I wonder if they are revolving around the fact of who the first and the last is. I'm wondering if you're considering who is the Almighty. I'm wondering if these choices you are making right now are just in temporal vision or in eternal vision. Notice what it says in verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about John for just a second and mention that his life is full of spiritual examples of how to live for the glory of God. John is noted here for facing some spiritual loss. If you study this John the Beloved, not John the Baptist, this is John, the one who is responsible through the Holy Ghost for the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. This John is saying he is in exile. He's going through a storm. He's going through difficult days. He's going through tribulation. But what he says in verse 9 is so important. I am your brother. I am your companion in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I want you to know there's going to be tough days ahead. But don't let the tough days dictate to you making a choice against God. Because John's about to reveal to us a choice that he made in difficult days that some of us may never make. Notice what it says in verse 10. In verse 10, John admits, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. In verse 10, we see a choice that John made. He chose to be in the Spirit. And as a believer, we must recognize what Galatians 5 teaches us. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you don't know what's going on in my life. Hey, we don't find hope in the bottom of the bottle. We don't find hope at the end of a drug. We don't find hope in the satisfaction of the flesh. Those are only temporary satisfactions. They're only pleasurable for a season. They only take the sting away for a little while. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, walking in His Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And John is in exile. John has had persecution come to him. But he says, guys, I want you to know, I was in tribulation. This isn't a statement of pride. This is a statement of humility. I was in the Spirit. Notice how it continues. He says, I was in the Spirit when? On the Lord's day. There was a day that was very special to him. A day that he could recollect. A day that he could understand. A day where he recognized Jesus Christ arose. They would go to Thomas and say, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas was full of unbelief at that moment. I will not believe except I can take my hand and put it through the holes in Jesus. I will not believe. And then there was that day, 8 days later, where Jesus appeared to Thomas. Behold my hand, behold my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And all the while, John is there. And John received the message just like Thomas. Thomas, peace be unto thee. Peace is how I'm going to send you. Go into all the world. And John would receive a message based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ that dissipated all fear and gave him such a peace in the moments of anxiety that he had that would lead him into a journey of serving the Lord his days. And now, even though he's on the island of Patmos, even though he is in exile, he chooses to be in the Spirit. He chooses to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. We all know what it's like, right? Driving to church, bickering, complaining, fighting with one another. We open the door, we step out on the pavement, and it's like the pavement has some kind of miraculous healing power because all of that bickering and fighting goes away, and we walk into church like everything's all right. When it's really not. But I'm trying to tell you that on the Lord's day that John said, I don't want to be in the flesh, I want to be in the spirit. On the Lord's day, I want a purpose to worship Him. Notice what it says in verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. We could say that in this preparation to meet with his God on the Lord's day, that first day of the week that represented Christ arose, in verse 10, John says, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And this is John's description of the voice of the Lord. It got his attention. It was great as a voice. It was as of a trumpet in his description. He was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard the powerful word of the Lord. And can I remind you how important it is, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what weight, no matter what heaviness, no matter what project lies ahead, it is so important for us to say, God has first place. I love Him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. He is worthy. And you worship Him. And God speaks to you. Has it ever amazed you that out of 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, 1,189 chapters, God says to us, all Scripture is given by God and is profitable. We can have this Word speak to us and teach us in principal ways, but there are those times in our life where we just know God was using that to get a hold of me. Powerfully hearing the voice of the Lord. We all know what it's like to receive the faithful instruction of the Word of God. And then we all also know what it's like to understand how powerful the voice of the Lord is. Think about that day where you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Think about how powerful the voice of the Lord was, where you knew faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's Word was revealing you're a sinner. He's the Savior. You cannot keep His righteous law. There is only one righteousness that could ever be accepted, and that's the righteousness of God. There is only one truth that will ever be received, and that is Jesus. Do you believe it? And I was thinking earlier today as I'm driving over, because I heard about this wonderful place in State College called Chick-fil-A. Well, I've heard about it before, but I figured I better go check and see if it's still just as good as it's always been. And so I went over there. Yeah, they're hopping like they always have been, right? And as I'm driving over there, I noticed something about my GPS. My GPS is doing what my GPS does. My GPS is telling me it's 35 miles an hour. And I look up at right at that moment and I see that it says 25 miles an hour on that particular road that I was on. And it got me thinking as I then looked at my speedometer and all of the information deck. And it's telling me it's 35 miles an hour here. But yet the sign out there just said 25. If I were to get pulled over, do you think that that police officer would say, you know what, for you, I'll make a different standard? You know what? He has every right as an officer of the law to say, it doesn't matter what your device said. We can't go off of everybody's individual device, because we have had a standard set in State College that has been here for such and such amount of time. If you would have been looking at the right thing, you would have known what the truth was about the speed limit. And you see, my dear friends, it's like that when it comes down to salvation. There are so many things out there saying this is the way, saying that is the way. And if we look at all of those things, we will get so confused. But my dear friends, God is not the author of confusion. His truth makes one free. His righteous standard is Jesus. And if we are guilty at offending one point of the law, we are guilty of the entire law. That's why Jesus had to die, being our perfect righteousness. And that's why we must believe on Him before it's too late. Maybe this evening God's powerful voice is just reminding you How long are you going to put me off? Maybe this evening is for the believer, like in my case, almost on that slippery slope. And the Spirit of God is saying, what are you doing? You know you shouldn't be doing this. Or maybe you're a believer who's in a very good place. I mean, there's a storm going on right now in your life. Somebody blew out your barn, you know? Somebody has a physical infirmity that they just can't get over. Or maybe you're actually persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can still be in a good place even though it's a storm right now. You can still purpose to be in the Spirit. You can still be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You can still hear the powerful voice of God. It doesn't matter what soldiers have you surrounded. They can't take those things away from you. And you can hear the powerful voice of God in those seasons of your life that didn't look exactly desirable when you first got into it. But there's more. Because when John heard the powerful voice of the Lord in simplicity, it led him to proclaim truth that challenged and changed people. Notice what it says in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, which in the Greek alphabet, that's just the first letter of the alphabet and the last. The first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Okay, and take that book and put it on your shelf so nobody ever is going to read it. No. Write it in a book, and then he says, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. Through his trial, through persecution, he purposed to worship God. He received the powerful voice of God. And then he turned around and did what God wanted him to do. And he, from an island, would influence seven churches in those seven locations with those messages that you may have heard over and over again in chapter 2, in chapter 3, dealing with how Ephesus left their first love, dealing with how Smyrna was the persecuted church, dealing with Pergamos, who was the tolerant church, and Thyatira, who was compromising, dealing with Sardis, things that were ready to die, Philadelphia, the brotherly love and revived church, the church of the open door, and then Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And John had a big responsibility, a big opportunity, as he has heard the powerful voice of the Lord to spread the truth that would challenge and change people. And you can say it all started with a choice. A choice to keep preaching Jesus that ultimately led to this time of persecution. A choice on this aisle to say, I'm not going to let this time drive me to such discouragement and depression that I never seek God again. I'm going to let what's going on point me to God, and I'm going to worship Him in spirit and truth, because that is that which God looks for. They that worship Him in spirit and truth. And here I am, Lord, in sincerity. I don't know what all is going on. I don't know what you have for my future. This might be the end. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and all of a sudden, he heard God's voice, and God gave him another initiative. Amen. God gave him another mission. God gave him another opportunity. And he takes it. And he moves forward with it. And those letters are sent. At that point, it was a decision of those churches what they were going to do with what they had received as a message from the Lord. Amen. Wow. You have choices to make for the rest of your life. One of the big choices in mine, I'd ask my dad when it comes down to a spouse, Dad, how am I going to know? You know what my dad said? Son, you'll just know. I thought, well, that's a cop out. But when I met Rachel, I just knew. Like, not like those other times when I thought I knew, right? But it was like, wow. As I drew close to God, God started showing me things And one of those was Rachel. Amen. Big choices. Choices to make. I want to draw close to God. Choices are important. Amen. So what's your spiritual choice tonight? Maybe God's led you up to one. Maybe you know what exactly you need to do, or maybe you're still in the searching. Ask God to make it clear. Amen. He's very good at doing that. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening so well. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your direction this evening, and we just ask that you would help us to decide for you, not according to our flesh, but according to the Spirit which works in us. I pray that you would be magnified by these choices, that if somebody's about to step on a slippery slope, they'd think twice about it, that they would consider you and what you think about it, what your truth says about it, and they'd step away. Think about those who are on the verge of making choices that will impact the rest of their lives. I understand that they may not have the clear answer yet, but help them to clearly, daily seek you and not make a move on that choice until you teach them the way that they should go. We trust in you. We don't lean into our own understanding. We acknowledge you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet together.